Welcome to The Good, The Bad, and The Sequel. This is the movie podcast where we're talking sequels and we do it in two parts. The first, an interview with an actor, someone involved that made the film worth watching. And the second, a discussion of the sequel, what they got right, what they got wrong, and how it could have been better. Really hope you enjoyed last week's eye-opening interview. I'm thinking I'm just talking to Jack O'Halloran, Non from Superman 1 and 2, and so many other movies. The fact that he was good friends with Muhammad Ali, he fought George Foreman, and just the stories he had about JFK and his father, Albert Anastasia, and the Mafia. Unbelievable. But before I get into this sequel, that at the very end of the last review of Psycho Cop Returns, Jamie was elated. I think I could use that word. Elated. My wife would be proud that I used it. It's not a big word.
I mean, I don't know. Elated and exciting are two different, you know.
Elated, I think, is more excited.
Yeah,
and
it is.
You were so excited when I said Superman 2. You're like, oh, man, this is good. Finally a good movie. My friend, will you still die on that hill?
Well, you know, let's be honest.
Let me introduce you to my partner in the sequel watching journey, Jamie Riccardi. Jamie, finish your thought.
Well, I thought you were going to ask me how I'm doing first.
I don't care because I was so excited for this movie. Like, I watched all like the Jack's clips and a lot of the scenes from the first and the second one prepping for the interview. But man, I did not see any of this.
Well, you know, I mean, listen, first of all, when I said that, it was right after we did a couple of movies that I was not a big fan of. So, you know, we did the Harold and Kumar. We did the Dorm Days. We did Psycho Cop. So, you know, to me, Superman 2 definitely is way above those movies. I haven't seen this movie in a very long time. I did enjoy it better than a lot of the movies we've definitely reviewed lately, but I remember being a lot better.
we'll have to get into that, but we welcome back our guest. He was on our 100th episode, Back to the Future Part 3, where we talked about all those time loops that were, I still don't know. Some guy from England on Twitter went after me on that, but I still think it made no sense. Nothing. But, and that is Tom Campanella. Tom, how you doing, man?
Good, man. Good, man. Great to be back. Very good to be back. Yeah.
Tom, you seen this movie before?
I thought I did. Because when Doug, you know, Doug, he like got, he messaged me. He was like, hey, we're going to do Superman 2. I was like, oh, great. Superman 2. Like, who doesn't love Superman? And then I watched it and I was like, I don't remember any of this. I don't remember anything. Yeah. It was
like two different movies. Obviously, there's the whole story between Richard Lester taking over for going over budget and like going toe to toe with the producers. And then Donner, that's how he got fired. But then Donner does this cut that I kind of want to watch because this movie, there's two movies within, like, I'm telling you, when you watch the scenes with like Non and Zod, and those scenes, those are like pretty good. There's some corny stuff in there, but the other ones, the punching up of the jokes are so over the top.
Well, you know, here's the thing. So I remember this movie. I mean, like, I was watching my daughter and I remembered scene for scene what was going to happen next. Like, I mean, I remembered, I've watched it so many times.
Oh, really?
So, oh, yeah. I mean, so I knew like what was going to happen, what was going to be said. So I do remember this movie a lot. The only thing is, I remember it being a lot better. I don't remember it being as cheesy as it was. And again, it's like watching, you know, regular VCR tapes and then going to Blu-ray. You know, and I think that's where it was, where I watched it back then. It was great special effects. Watching it now, yeesh.
It's yeah. Yeah. Well, that aside, like when we do these movies, obviously when you get different eras, there's some movies that the effects were like so good or they didn't show as much. So now, but that aside, just the story of this whole movie, just everything that happens in the movie, it's a totally different tone than the first one, which is so weird for a sequel that most of the second one, like 30% of the second one, was already filmed.
I read that and I found that like mind-blowing because afterwards I'm like, whoa, there is a Richard Donner cut. And I'm like, that's what I should have watched. What are you talking?
I almost did.
Yeah, I couldn't find it.
Well, I'll tell you right now, one thing I did notice in the movie, and there's a big like loophole in this whole movie that I never realized until I watched it now. There's a problem.
Okay.
So, you know, I mean, and, you know, I'm going to say it right now. I don't care if we wait to it. So, you know, obviously Lois Lane loves Superman, right? Okay, Fell in love with Superman.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, you know, we do get to a point where he loses his powers and he's just Clark.
Yeah.
He's not Superman anymore.
Correct.
So she still loves Clark. You know, like it wasn't Clark.
I have that written down.
Okay. All right. So then we'll get there. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because that changes the whole movie now. To me, that changes the whole movie.
Yeah. You can tell she's just like, I don't know. I like Superman.
It was fun when we were just flirting at work, but now that we're like in bed together, I'm gonna quit my job. I cannot see you.
Oh man, there's so many good parts over there, like towards the middle.
Another question, I mean, like, we see a lot of Clark here. Is that how he really is, or is he really playing up the nerd factor?
Oh, he's playing it up to be completely opposite, because there's one part I'm like, how can this guy? He's always Superman. He always has those power. The fact that he was that bumbling, which we'll get to the scene in the hotel room.
But even
before that, how clumsy he is. In one part, he walks into a door and I'm like, dude, okay, ease up. People are going to be onto you. They're going to fire you because you can't even function.
Yeah, but that's why I don't know if he really is acting, because of what happens in the hotel room. Because that was a mistake. So
he's definitely acting.
Or was it?
Yeah, it could be his heart.
Okay.
All right. Let's
get to the beginning.
Well, the beginning is super weird. Okay. So the first, like, 5 minutes is a flashback to the first one. So you're seeing everything that happened at the end of the second one.
It's 10 minutes.
10 minutes.
Because I have written down my favorite part of Superman 2 was the first 10 minutes, because it was Superman 1. But, you know, that changed.
Minus one of the parts. Why did we have to see a naked
kid? Oh, my God. I didn't even want to write that down. But, yeah.
I don't know if they've ever, like, that would not fly today. Like, you know.
Shouldn't have flown. But
he was in the first movie. That was the same scene in the first movie.
Good. Yeah. Get rid of it. Lester took all these scenes out, but he's like, no. Keep that one.
It was...
See, I would have thought that Doug would have liked the beginning of this movie, because it just goes right into it. It doesn't waste any time.
Well, I thought it went right into it, but then I'm like, wait, you just showed me what I could have saw already? Come on.
When I was watching it, I was like, man, I really wish that I watched Superman 1 before this, just to, you know, have some background. But then I'm watching Superman 2 and it is Superman 1. So I'm okay.
And you got to think, back then, there probably wasn't one person that did not see Superman 1. You know, like, I mean, you know, so if they're going to see Superman 2, they saw Superman 1. So to do the flashback like that wasn't necessary.
I 100% agree. 100% agree.
So, yeah. So then when it goes to just the things he's doing in all those scenes, that was all from Superman 1, that opening sequence.
I don't know. I haven't seen it in a long time. I don't know if the actual of them stealing whatever they were stealing was in the first movie. I don't like, I mean, you know, that might have been added to it. But I mean, that's the best they could have came up with, was throwing them into a picture frame. Like, I don't like that. I mean, I know that's part of part one, but that seemed kind of weird. Like, of all the concepts, that's what they come up with.
That wasn't the weirdest part in this movie, in my opinion. Honestly, I was like, you know what? The picture frame. And I didn't even remember that they were in the first one. Because towards the end of that little sequence, and I'm like, oh yeah, they were in the first one. But yeah,
but were they at the end of the first one?
I think it was, right?
Yeah, it was like the last scene of the first one.
Where they steal the red stick, that little red stick. I don't know what that is.
Well, basically, it's grounds for punishment for your entire life if you steal that red stick.
You go into the Phantom Zone.
So there's a red stick, a green stick, and then just the regular crystal stick.
Crystal,
because we learn all of them throughout the whole thing, and. There's when we get to the first time that I noticed this, because I don't want to talk about it now because I want to see if you guys caught it first. So then we get through all of that. We have Superman saving the Amtrak, which I guess is the first one, all of that happening. So then we get, I guess the first scene of this movie is when he goes, where's Lois? And then he goes, oh, there's a terrorist attack in Paris. At the Eiffel Tower. And I'm like, wow, we're getting right into it.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, they had to introduce the bad guys right away. That was the only way they can come up with, because apparently, even though they're aliens and they're super high tech, a nuclear bomb could, you know, explode the.
Was the dumbest thing, and they didn't even say it then. We heard about it, unless they said it in the end of the first one.
No, they didn't.
We don't find out until like what, the beginning of Act Three, when he's talking to his mom in the glass mirror. She's like, the only thing that can release them is a nuclear.
She also comes. Like, she walks through the glass mirror too.
She does. She comes out.
Yeah, she does. She comes out of it. I was like, whoa.
And she is dead.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. What? I thought that whole Paris thing was crazy because, like, they're first off, Clark works for the Daily Planet, right? He's supposed to be on the know, and he comes in. No. Because he doesn't. He really doesn't know. I was like, oh, maybe it's because Clark is acting like Clark, and he's trying to be stupid and not, you know about it. But he really didn't know about it.
But yeah, how does he not know about it? Because doesn't Superman pretty much know about everything, a crime that's going on?
That was my whole like train of thought. I was like, I just don't get that part. You know. But
and it delayed him. He gets there. Just in time. Like he's there. What if he talked to, you know, Jackie Cooper for a couple more minutes? She'd be dead.
Yeah. She'd be smushed by the elevator.
Lois also says,
I believe this is your floor.
Oh, thank God. How'd I get myself into this?
She literally, first of all, she's a journalist who's going to go up to where they know there's a nuclear bomb and she's going to walk up there. That's how, come on.
I have written down, hold on, French police are idiots, because he was just like, oh, you can't go up there. And then she was like, what's this say? And then she was like, and then she just ran up.
And he was studying it. Like, he didn't know what it meant.
Yeah.
A nuclear bomb, people are going to get that close that they can get right up to the stairs like that fast.
Yeah. Did you notice? I don't know if you're going to say it, but one of the terrorists.
Yes.
Do you know who he was?
He was Harry Potter. Gun,
Harry Potter's uncle.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. Yep. Yep. I was like, oh, shit.
He looked the same.
He did look the same. Yeah.
And I did like that the whole time when she's in the cab, she's talking to herself. She's like, Pulitzer Prize, Pulitzer Prize. And then she's like, Nobel.
Yeah.
Pumping herself up because, again, she's going to a situation where she could die. Like, could you get the story from the street? I think you can get good enough of a story.
I was just going to say, what did she expect to do? Go up there and interview these terrorists? Like, I just don't get it.
I was going to say the same thing. Like, what was her plan of action? Like, I, you know, getting that close, you know, like, she wasn't going to interview them. And then she goes, her best place would be under an elevator.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Genius. She's a genius.
She really is.
I'm not a big fan. I'm going to be honest. I'm not a big fan of, what's her name? Margot Kidder. Not a big fan of her. I don't think that she should be Lois Lane, but that's just me. I don't know.
I don't like Lois Lane too. As a person,
as a character?
The way she treats, the way she treats Superman. I never watch any of the other, like the Adventures of Lois Lane or anything like that. So I don't know how the other people treat, but it's pretty like, she's like, I like Superman. Oh, Clark, you get so jealous whenever I mention his name. This is before she knows. And I'm like, what a bitch.
Yeah. But you know what though? She is a little tougher than Clark when it comes to fighting, you know, when the diner, I mean, she did a little bit more kick-ass than he does.
And she eats like crazy, you know. She's always like asking for hamburgers and stuff.
Nine in the morning.
Well, you know, you're right. She treats Clark like crap because she's sending him. He's a reporter. Why is he getting her lunch?
Is he a reporter though? What does he do there?
But you know, that was the other question. I was like, why are they keeping him on the job? Because he clearly doesn't know anything that goes on.
I know.
Who's paying his salary? Like, or why? Unless he's an errand boy.
That could be it.
It's a snazzy looking gopher, man. If he's just gophering for...
Yeah,
but like Perry White, wouldn't Perry White say the same thing as Lois? Be like, oh, well, it seems like every time the Superman story hits, you're going to the bathroom. Maybe you should like get that looked at. Because every time, and she finally like comes to, that scene's actually pretty funny.
Yeah.
But okay, but and I know we did. And this is part of the whole Clark Kent thing, but I still can't get over the glasses. I mean, the glasses are the only thing that she can't figure out. The glasses and the curl, the hair curl.
Right,
I know.
Can't figure out it's Superman.
Not to talk about the new Superman or anything or compare, but like I think right they didn't add that into those new ones because it's so unbelievable as a thing.
It's so stupid. Yeah, I don't think they added it at all.
Right.
Yeah.
He was just always Superman.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's just, I can't stop thinking about it when he's there in the glasses.
At least
the fact that at one point when the glasses fall off and she like looks at him like, well, could it be? And then he puts it back on. And you're like, no, never mind.
Nah, never mind. Yeah. Yeah. If he had the curl in his hair, maybe.
It's like Ace Ventura, Finkel, and Einhorn, like the dog's hair goes over it. You just have like a dog's tail go there, like the little curl or like spaghetti's in his hair or something.
Yep. Huh.
So then we get, again, Clark gets there just in time. He saves the day because dumb Lois is underneath the elevator and she sneezes. And then they're like, oh, somebody's here. And then the elevator starts right from there.
Yeah.
Did they cut the elevator or why did it start tumbling down?
No. They cut it. They cut it. So
they cut it. Okay.
Yeah.
How do I not remember that? They cut the elevator?
Yeah. So it was like kind of dangling. It was, and then as it was going faster, it dropped. Yeah.
And then he swoops in. Yeah. I remember him swooping in, but like, I didn't.
Well, they cut it because that it was going to explode the bomb. So that's why they cut it.
Oh. Then he flies to outer space with it. And he's like, got to get rid of this Lois. So then he tosses the bomb and then. And then right from there, you see the Phantom Zone and you see them in it and you're like, oh.
Then the movie starts or does it?
Or does it? But it's funny. I'm telling you, if you put this into two movies, I love the Zod. I love everything with those three. Like when they're on, even though they're still corny lines, it's not as much. Like Superman should be not the comic relief, like him crossing the street and a cab hitting him, which I saw behind the scenes. Richard Lester on set talking to Christopher Reeve saying like why this is funny, which if he has to explain the joke to the actor, it's probably not funny.
Does it bother you at all that we played it sort of more over here?
No,
you can get around that. Okay.
I couldn't tell.
And also, what about the speed the guy was going at? It seemed to be no more than about sort of 15 miles an hour. Can you do that much damage in 15 miles an hour?
When you hit a brick wall, yes. I think if you do it any less, it won't be
so you won't see the fact that I was actually doing that, right?
No, sir. Okay.
You know, that's good.
Less than that, it isn't funny.
No,
but that's funny.
So it's a little, what we do is you cut to the private anguish of the cab driver.
That's right. He comes out and goes.
It's one of those. And everybody else, typical New Yorkers, like,
The fact that he has to do that, but just those scenes with him shouldn't be it. Then when you see the second part of the movie, like with Zod, that should be more of the jokes, but there's just too much every time you saw Superman.
Well, you know, I'll tell you what I really liked about the movie, Gene Hackman. You know, I forgot how
okay, this is it. You just did it. So you like Gene Hackman. What do you mean? The Gene Hackman that we barely saw or the stunt double that we saw the back of and the terrible, terrible voiceover. It sounded nothing like him.
I'm just saying the way they portrayed Lex, it was very comic booky, like, you know, Batman with Jack Nicholson. Like, I forgot that's how Gene Hackman played him. And I did like that Lex, their take on Lex. Okay, but yes, you're right. I mean, there was a lot of dummies in this movie.
Well, he hated the fact that I guess he was boys with Donner. Like a few of those people were like, hey, I'm not going to come back. So he was one of them. But honestly, if you're in a movie, this is you, you know, like people are watching this one scene and you just see everyone turn this way and then you see him this way. And it's so bad.
I was watching at work on an iPad during lunch and it fooled me, dude. I read it after it. I was like, no way. And I had to go back and look and I didn't hear any voiceovers. I was like, wow, I was fooled. I was fooled. Was it that bad?
Mostly when they're in his fortress up north, it's mostly that. Cause I guess maybe there was a different tone, maybe like in the Donner cut. But there's a few that he turns like sideways, the stunt guy, and he's like talking to his girlfriend, and it's so bad. Like Yeah. I tried to find some of them.
I was looking at his the bald cap.
Bald cap, like, wow, yeah.
That's terrible. That's so bad.
Oh, God, that's great. So then we get, so right from there, he hurls it to outer space. And then I wrote the fact that I guess she doesn't know, obviously, but she just had her life saved and she's treating Clark like shit as soon as they get back
to
the city. And this is the whole part with the cabbie, which is so stupid because she makes fun of him. She's like, oh, look at you. You're such a klutz. Wouldn't it be like, wow, that's amazing that you just survived a 2-ton vehicle hitting
you. She also said you have to make sure you're looking both ways when you're crossing. Like, she's talking to him like he's a 5-year-old.
And I think he said, I think I'll try that. Jesus Christ. And then she's worried about her health. And she's, again, these jokes are over the top. She juices what, like 5 or 6 whole oranges while smoking a cigarette?
Yeah, yeah.
And then when it's done, it's, because Clark breaks it. When he slams his finger in there.
Yeah.
And then he's done it. And it's like this much, like a little smidge of juice.
Best joke. I was like, oh, there it is.
Well, a picture of health, smoking. I mean, and you see how many cigarettes she smokes, and then she's worried about the oranges.
Yeah, I was wondering if that was at a time where they, like, people were like, "Oh, smoking is actually bad for you." So that was the joke. Like, is it just a new thing? But
no, I think still then I was collecting my like parents' miles and getting like Marvel book bags.
Yeah, yeah,
and a jacket and wearing to school.
This came out what, 80, right?
It's funny. It came out like 80 around the world, 81 here.
So yeah, I was gonna say,
like,
yeah.
Oh, really?
Fascinating, because they were like, yeah, like in Australia, because everywhere you look, it says 1980, but then in the States, it came out June 19th, 81. Just crazy that it's that much of a gap between like the.
When did the first one come out? Like 78? Like.
Oh, you know what? I thought it was 78, but I think it's earlier than I thought. I think it was like 76.
I can't believe that. That's. Wow.
Yeah. That makes sense though, because the movie felt very 70s to me, right? And after I watched it, learning that like half the movie was from the first one, right?
Yeah.
Like the first take. So makes sense.
And there's so much that they left out that we'll get to when we get to some of those parts. But so then we cut to Jamie's favorite character, Lex Luthor, and Otis, rest in peace, Ned Beatty, who barely in the movie. The guy is just so good. He's so funny.
Yeah.
Well, he was a big part in the first movie, you know. But I guess it was just too much, like too many characters. They had to get rid of him. I mean, I would have liked to continue to see him because he is pretty good.
He couldn't fit in the hot air balloon. There's only spots for two.
Like, wait, fit? Wait, not only fit, he was pulling it down. I mean, so there's your fat joke.
They never cut back to him in the prison. Nothing. No. Nothing.
For
5 minutes he was in that movie. But
while I was in the prison, Gene Hackman had a weird line, like his Liberace record or something.
Says,
can you return my Liberace record?
Yeah,
where the heck did that come from? Like, it just it just thrown out there. Like, it made no sense.
A lot. I feel like that about a lot of this movie. It just made no sense. There was like Doug said, right? There's two movies going on, I felt like, at the same time. Meanwhile, Superman is not in it a lot.
I know.
And it's scary how much he's not in it.
But, you know, again, I haven't seen it in a long time. I really thought he was in it way more. And it's more Clark than Superman. And
way more Clark.
100%. I mean, listen, the later on the battle, I think, you know, for the time was great, but it was too short. You know,
Would you have like some battle in the middle or something? Like, even Batman takes on other people in between, or some kind of henchman. I don't know. There was just like nothing. There was nothing. Yeah. Honestly, the people in the city were more badass than like
100%. Absolutely.
That whole battle scene, there's so many like side characters in that whole scene. Okay.
Like the two kids that are like by the subway, you're like, oh man, let's go.
How about the guy continuing his phone call while sideways on the ground?
Yeah.
There are a few people that were continuing their phone call, like, you know, and somehow he was blown down like half of the block, but the phone was still working.
Yeah. And everybody has to come out of a store like when there's the biggest like windstorm.
KFC got some great plug there because not only did a guy come out and he lost all his chicken, the waitress said, "Oh, sir, your receipt." Yeah, yeah. And then she went flying.
That was great.
Like, you wouldn't hear that from inside. Like, wow, that's a really strong wind coming from these three guys in this who look like a 70s pop band. They're just blowing out.
Or what about like, oh, wow, that guy, that the guy's receipt that I have, that guy just blew away. Maybe I won't go after him. Like,
you're missing the best part. We're not even at that part yet, but you're missing the best part.
We're not.
When they did, like, you know what, let's go get them. And like the crowd grabs like bats and like they go out after these three aliens that are flying, shooting fire from their eyes. And they think a bunch of bats and like lead pipe are going to take care of them.
Yeah.
One guy yells from the back off screen, "I know judo," which is awesome. So then we get to, like, we talked about like two movies. So we're in the Zod and the Boys. Which I like. Well, Zod and the gang, I guess.
Zod and the gang.
Leave Sarah Douglas out. But the scene on the moon, because you don't know what's really happening. Obviously, we know they're in outer space, that they're out of it, because we saw them flying after the nuclear explosion. But that whole scene on the moon, I thought that was so cool. And you see who worked at the space station? Well, not at the space station. Who worked at
Houston?
Houston?
No.
Don Ratzenberger.
Was that him?
Ears. Yeah.
He looked familiar. And when I saw him, I was like, who is
that? When the British ruled the Punjab.
That.
Yeah. Oh, there's also a guy that looked like Clint Howard. Wasn't there someone that looked like, at the White House. At the White House.
He looked like him. Yeah, but it wasn't.
So I have a question about the moon part. So, you know, clearly these three, you know, Zod and his gang seem very clueless about normal stuff on Earth.
Everything.
Right. They didn't know. They're like, look at these earthlings, you know, that are as astronauts, but somehow they're able to drive the spacecraft to the rocket. Did you notice that?
Yeah.
They were driving. First of all, they fly. So I don't know why they're driving in the first place, but they drove. They were driving. It was the girl and the mute.
Manon.
Which, by the way, did you notice that he's wearing platform shoes?
No.
To make him even bigger.
His shoes look like the from Young Frankenstein, those big, like, you know, he had a huge, it was like a huge platform shoe throughout the whole movie.
Nice.
Because he's a big dude. He's 6'5". So they made him like even bigger. But so why would they get in the car?
Yeah.
They can move things with their mind. They could pretty much do like whatever they want.
They were driving.
to give the movie some credit, I think at that point in time, they didn't realize their powers, right?
You know what? You're right. You might be right.
Oh, yeah. Because, they didn't. Yeah. Because when they were on Earth, that's when they said, my God, we have these powers on Earth. So,
yeah,
it's kind of wild that only on Earth they work.
Okay. But in the same, they were able to throw the astronauts around a little bit, you know, with zero gravity. But even if that's the case, they don't have any.
No, they have no prior knowledge.
No, there's no vehicles on Krypton,
No. Yeah.
If Michael Myers can drive, I think Zod and Ursa and Nan are be able to figure out how to get that started. So then we get to, we mentioned the hot air balloon, which is like, of all things, this guy's supposed to be, he calls himself, he's like the Rock in wrestling. He self-proclaims himself as the greatest villain in the world, right? Is that what he calls himself? And his
greatest mastermind.
Greatest mastermind in the world.
But even before the hot air balloon, though, how about his little gadget in the cell?
Oh, yeah, that was cool.
Oh, yeah.
That's pretty cool, actually.
It was cool, but where'd he get it from?
Ned Beatty snuck it in. Otis snuck it in.
Wherever he got the Liberace record.
Wow, how do you get that in? Otis was limping for a few days after.
Well, I mean, did this movie take place after Deliverance?
Yeah.
Okay, so.
Yeah.
He's used to think stuff. He's used to think stuff in there.
So then, I just thought it was so stupid, the hot air balloon. And obviously, it works. It totally works. But unless he has like ballooning knowledge or his girlfriend knows something. But, like,
I was gonna say, he, know where they're going. Not only him, she has balloon knowledge to get right there.
That's true.
And she doesn't seem like the smartest, you know, sharpest crayon in the box.
No.
Well, no, she isn't, because in the first movie, he wanted to feed her to a lion and Superman saved her and she went back to him.
Yeah. You know, sometimes people like those kind of relationships. You know, I don't know.
Love is love.
Love is blind.
Or he's packing heat.
Yeah, possible.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
So then we cut to Niagara Falls, where I get married. And the fact that the bellhop, the guy that's showing them to the honeymoon suite,
the creep,
and a guy get, and yeah, any creepier, the way he was chewing the gum, he was like taking it all in.
Well, you know, I mean, considering they're undercover as a newlywed couple, that room back then must have been so expensive. Why do they need a room like that if they're undercover? Because no one's going to be in their hotel room.
Right.
If they can stay at a regular hotel. Why do they need that master suite that looks like nobody can afford?
Because the concierge might be like, you know what? I don't believe these people. They're going into a regular room with two queen beds.
With a massive fire in the middle of it?
Yeah, yeah.
Pink polar bear on the ground.
That room screams set to me. And it was just like, I don't know.
Let's see what we can throw together what's left over and just put it in this room.
Yeah. Couch was halfway in the middle.
Yeah. Every hotel room set that we have, throw it all in there.
Right.
And the reason they were there, couldn't they have thought of something better? Was that supposed to be a joke by Richard Lester to, okay, they're there investigating people that are taking advantage of new young kids and getting them to get married? I'm like,
this is the same reporter that they sent to Paris for a nuclear bomb.
Yes.
Didn't even have to convince to go up the stairs.
I mean, I can't see Lois taking this job. You know, it's more for, I can see Jimmy. Is his name Jimmy?
Jimmy Olsen?
Yeah,
Jimmy Olsen.
Okay. And so then they go down and they're right near the falls and everybody's holding hands. And Clark likes her, obviously. And he goes, everybody's holding hands. Maybe we should too, Lois. And Lois, this is when she notices that he doesn't need glasses.
She also looked extremely disgusted holding his hand.
Yes.
Yeah, she did not, like, she didn't just like appease him, but she kind of looked disgusted about it.
She hates Clark. She hates Clark.
Well, I mean, the guy's a bumbling idiot. He can't get like two words without like almost like stammering. You know, he's not, you know, so I mean, I get it. But like, yeah, I mean,
no, if she's into Superman, it's just glasses.
There's nothing to Clark that she likes. That's why this does not make sense whatsoever. He loses powers. It's like her, someone marrying a millionaire and they lose all the money.
Yeah.
I'm not gonna say.
She doesn't even like Clark and he kind of looks like Superman. Right? Like, yeah. Every time he takes off his glasses, she's like, eh.
Yeah.
Still hates him. Still hates him.
No, you know what? You're right. I mean, because at least she could, if she's attracted to, like, just say Superman's face, Clark is pretty close to what Superman looks like.
Right.
So, you know, it's obviously everything else.
Right. It's the powers.
Yeah.
She then gives. We'll get there.
She won. Yeah.
Now, I've never been to Niagara Falls, but are those ledges that like the
yeah.
Oh, it is like that.
Yeah. It's very unsafe. It's like the Grand Canyon. Grand Canyon, anybody right now could walk up to the Grand Canyon and just like walk over.
So they don't have like any kind of like fencing or anything or netting. That's crazy. That's nuts.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, but they would be a lot more wet, wouldn't they? Cause isn't like the, yeah. Like I remember going there and being like soaked just because you were like that close.
Oh yeah.
And they would never have hot dogs that close to the edge. They would not have hot dogs. No.
and they wouldn't have a dumb kid that almost falls in once. And I'm like, after he got saved and didn't fall, I'm like, God, I want him to fall in. And then he actually falls in.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, I did the same thing.
Oh, like the kid obviously has an issue, and the parent, like your mom would get nervous. Like, all right, you know what? I can't believe my son almost did that. You know, you keep a special eye on it. Nope. She ignored him again twice. You know, some people should not have kids.
I'll go as far as say she went, like, she didn't even want to look at him. She was like, stop talking to me. And then he falls. Don't even get me started on the fall. Because
you mean like the 10-minute fall that he has?
I timed it. He fell for 28 seconds. 28 seconds. I'm not a physicist or anything, but I know that you would fall for a lot less than that.
And if Superman wasn't there, he would still be falling.
Probably. Yes. Probably.
If there's any physicists listening, 28 seconds, tell us how far.
Is that even physics? Yeah, that's physics.
Think about it this way. So he was falling for that long. Lois jumped in and she landed in 2 seconds.
She was in there pretty quick.
Yeah. Right down the river, too.
That scene, which that's coming up soon. But so then Superman flies in, saves the day. And then another, like some of the ADR in this, some of the lesser lines, I think, are kind of funny. I like this one when the old lady out of nowhere, when he is holding this boy that almost was almost going to drown. She's like, what a nice man. Like, she doesn't even know who Superman is. It's just like, oh, the old Jewish boy.
I wrote that down.
I didn't even think of that. Yeah. What a nice man.
There's a few of those like kind of lines about Superman throughout the whole movie.
Yeah.
Like, you know, like he's a regular person.
Yeah. There was one specifically towards the end that I definitely wrote down.
Right. So then we see Lex Luthor. He's just in the hot air balloon. And then he knows what he finds out what the directions are, and they're go north.
I first of all, I don't think a hot air balloon would last that, make it that far.
No way. You
know? I mean, no way. No. And the fact that, especially in the cold, but there's no GPS back then.
No.
So what are they using to get to that point? Because I no one's found the Fortress of Solitude yet, and he's somehow able to find it with whatever that tracker thing he had. Like, that was ridiculous.
Was that even a hot air balloon?
Yeah.
That was just a balloon, I thought.
Well, there was no heat. There was no heat going up.
Yeah, there was no flame. Yeah. It was just a balloon. So how do they change the altitude or the trade winds? I was like, I need more answers on this.
That's hilarious. It's just a balloon.
Mm-hmm.
How about a good gag like Ace Ventura? Have him pull out like one of those pocket fans.
Exactly. Exactly.
Especially, this was a comedic moment that they could have. This is already there they could have worked with, not like a random line, which is so many of those in this movie that just make no sense.
Yeah.
So then he gets into the Fortress of Solitude and he knows to grab a crystal, plug it in. And then it reminded me of those educational videos, Tom, like when we were in like middle school, like on the laser disc.
Yeah,
and then
that
an educational video just starts playing.
I was like, how many crystals does he have if they're going to have one on a poem, a famous poem? How many crystals are obviously they were explaining, you know, things on Earth.
Maybe the whole Fortress of Solitude is just, you know, like every single crystal in there is something.
And the fact that Lex goes, oh, this looks like a control panel. No, it doesn't. It looks like a bunch of ice.
In what fucking world does that look like a control panel?
I got a joke right now. They could add it. I just thought of it. Of all, who was the poet that they had?
Oh man.
But no matter who it was, they should use Robert Frost. Frost, cold.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Ice.
Yikes.
See, that's why they need you working on movies like that.
I should have worked on this one.
Yeah.
I was -6. So then this is where this is where we found out for the first time. Later, she says it again, but Mama Superman talks about the Phantom Zone. And the only way they can escape is a nuclear explosion.
What are the odds?
The whole movie is just
based on happenstance. I have that written down, like really early on. It's like, seriously, what are the chances that he throws a bomb and blows up the Phantom Zone?
A nuclear bomb probably would not hurt Superman anyway. So why would it affect the Phantom Zone? Like, they're obviously, like, they're so advanced in whatever they have. Nothing really should be able to penetrate it. That's Earth made.
And why was it so close to Earth, the Phantom Zone? Just passing by, like, just yeah. making its round.
Yeah, Superman didn't seem like he was in space that long. Like, it wasn't a long trip.
No, he just, like, went out the atmosphere real quick.
Right, he crossed over the divider, and, yeah. like, that's it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, what are the chances not only a nuclear bomb happening that he throws in outer space, but just how big outer space is?
Right.
So Superman just went like straight up and they just happened to be in that part of the galaxy at that point.
This whole movie, I have it written down. This whole movie is based on happenstance.
Yeah. lots of plot holes. So this is where like the first, we talked about it earlier, but the first like Gene Hackman ADR, they like everything's medium shots. For the most of the time, when it's like big name actors, they really don't do faraway shots for the most part. But you see him talking to the girl, and then it's like this super far shot, and he's looking at her, and you just see like the back of his head, and you're like, that's not how you talk to somebody. But yeah, there's like a few of them that are pretty ridiculous. And here it is, Lois. She's on to him.
Well,
he
comes back with the hot dog, right? He goes to the stand.
Yeah.
Did you notice that no one was working at the hot dog stand?
No, he just took them.
He just took them. There wasn't one. There wasn't anyone behind the counter.
Oh man!
Did everybody run because that kid got saved? They're like, "Hey, this kid just got saved by Superman. Let's run."
I'm not sure because when Lois fell, there was a couple walking up the bridge that basically ignored everything and just kept walking. I'm not sure if like you know everybody was that observant, but there was no one at the hot dog stand because you also didn't see anyone dressed as a hot dog worker. I would think if he was there.
What's a hot dog worker wear? Like you're talking about the guy that's in the full hot dog suit?
Yeah, or something. I'm assuming if you're working in, you know, like a famous tourist area, you're going to wear some kind of hot doggy thing.
or at least like a little checkerboard
shirt.
Yeah. Right. Like,
but there wasn't anyone working there.
And Clark didn't even leave money. Who is this guy? If he's trying to win her over, wouldn't he be like, hey, Lois, nobody's working here, but I'm going to make sure I give him a tip anyway.
Hey, like, hey Lois, like, they're giving out free hot dogs over here.
Wouldn't it be funnier if Clark was like a schlub? So kind of like, what's that? Hitchcock? Is that, wait, what's the name of him? Hancock. With Will Smith, how he's like, oh, guy. Wouldn't it be great if he was a schlub and he like was like, Lois, free hot dogs?
Well, in the third one, I think it's the third one, he becomes bad. He becomes bad Superman. And bad Superman, he grows a 5 o'clock shadow. And he fights himself. Like Clark, like Superman fights alter ego Superman. And it like literally like he's hitting on women. Like so he does a Hancock kind of thing in the third one.
Or a Spider-Man 3 kind of thing.
Yes, that's exactly what I was gonna. So, is it once you get to the third superhero movie? Oh wait, in Batman Forever was Val Kilmer hitting on random? Well, I guess no. In the third one, Batman Forever was when they had that line that was basically like he was gonna go down on Nicole Kidman. He actually just talked about it because it was the anniversary the other day.
Really?
She says a line like, let's open a bottle of wine and see how things go or something. And she sits up and like opens her legs and he retweeted this article that was about that whole scene. So the third superhero movie gets nuts. Iron Man 3. Yeah. I've never seen it, but
I don't remember what it was, but I'm sure it was crazy.
By the way, we skipped one other thing with Lex going to the Fortress of Solitude. Where'd he get a snowmobile from? Because that's what he takes to the Fortress of Solitude.
It was in the balloon. Duh. It was strapped to the bottom. They chose not to drop that to take Ned Beatty, right? That's his name, Ned Beatty?
Yeah.
They needed it. They needed the
Otis, we need this, man, unless you can carry us on your back.
Yeah. Not to talk about the hot air balloon or the balloon anymore, but don't they normally have sandbags on there?
They do. Yeah. They do.
No sandbags.
I don't think there's any controls on here whatsoever.
No, they were just
floating automatically to where they need to go.
Flying by the seat of their pants.
It shouldn't say, hey, just go north. It's like, hopefully this goes north because they could end up anywhere.
Yeah. Well, we'll get there.
Yeah. We'll get there eventually. So then we get the Superman. He comes back and nobody's around. He gives her the hot dog. Sorry, there was no fresh orange juice.
I forgot your fresh
juice. She drinks a lot of orange juice.
Yeah.
So then what does she say next? Go get something. She's like, see you later, Superman.
She started talking to herself like, and Clark's not here again.
Yeah.
She's starting to get the wheels turning right here. And then she figured, let me throw him a little sneaky and say, all right, see you later, Superman. But he does stop in his tracks. So he made it so obvious that
he's so bad at keeping a secret. He really is.
Well, all he has to do is leave his glasses on. I mean, so, he doesn't have much practice in anything else.
Well, what part was it? I'm sorry if I'm jumping ahead, but what part was it where he was like trying to clean his glasses and he was cleaning them like,
no, she on was, his face. She was, no, it was at Niagara Falls, I think, because there was water on it. Well, he was water on
he
it.
He was cleaning them on his face and then she took them off.
Yes.
And she was like,
he was kind of hiding his eyes and then she looked at him for a second and then he put them on and that's when she goes, oh, okay.
Yeah. Never mind. I don't know what I was thinking.
These are clear frames.
Yeah. These don't even have lenses in them.
This whole scene when she says, oh, well, I know how Superman will turn up. I'm just going to jump in the water. And then you're like, is she really going to do this? And I thought this was actually funny. Because she jumps in the water, and I thought he was going to go in. Because there was how many times did he look like a guy trying to go pee, like in the woods? He was like running around, and he was like looking, and then like you said, that the couple walked across him like on that little bridge.
They didn't turn their head. They didn't even look down. She's screaming, and they did not turn their head.
Tourists. That's all they called. Tourists.
Dummies.
But I mean, so his idea to save her was to shoot this branch that really didn't look that big when it was in the water with her.
No.
Like, I don't know what he's expected her to do with that. Because if there wasn't a little area that looked like it was barely 3 feet deep.
That perfect cove.
She would have died. Like, that branch was going to do nothing. That branch did nothing for her.
I just don't understand why they made her jump in. And then, he was just like, still Clark.
Yeah.
Don't even show me that scene.
And he couldn't. He fell in.
When he fell in, he was like, did that whole thing.
Yeah.
So if you're gonna, for the audience, if you're gonna reveal it in the very next time we see these two, why the hell not just do it in a cool way? Like the opening sequence I didn't mention before, but when he turned into Superman in that first time when he was running in the alleyway,
right,
it looked awesome.
Right,
it looked so great. Holds up today. But you have something like this, another moment you could have something cool. I was expecting him to look around, nobody, when he passed that couple, like do the jump and change into it. No.
Yeah.
Well, that would prove her point. Where's Clark? Well,
it was in the next scene. That's what I mean.
The next scene was a mistake. He fell.
No, he that's
the whole thing, right? It's like, just don't show that scene. Don't show the scene where she's in the water and just do something or do something right big right there. What?
Well, because I think they wanted, the audience was going to see, like, all right, they're finally going to get the reveal. And then she dadded it at the end. She goes, I can't believe it's so embarrassing. I can't believe I thought you were Superman. So they wanted that one more time to like make it, the big reveal. I don't think he really did it on purpose when he fell, by the way. I think because he looked really concerned that she was looking at his hand.
Couldn't he have used eye lasers and burned his hand real quick or something? Then he have to explain his eye lasers, not the fact that he didn't burn in the fire. But yeah, so then we get back to Zod and the gang, and we get them like in the elements, wherever they land. I don't even know what city they land in. I have no idea where that was.
I know where they landed in East Houston, Idaho. I was like, and that's a real place, apparently. I think.
Oh wait, so when they were talking about Houston, they didn't even.
No. I think that was a joke.
Texas?
I think that they were problem? Really, obviously, like NASA was talking to Houston, Texas, but they went to Houston, Idaho. Yeah.
Of all places, that's what they thought. Like, you know, that's. I thought they were like at one of the Great Lakes when they first landed. They had the fisherman there that was watching everything.
Oh my God. And then Zod like walks on the water and this is when he's like, oh, we have special powers here. Which Terrence Stamp, dude, he is one of the most interesting guys. So just from like watching this interview with him and Sarah Douglas, like talking about the movie and how he got the role. So he was in a bunch of like big movies in the 60s and early 70s. And one of his best buddies, and they've lived together, Michael Caine, which in Michael Caine's book, he says, I still wake up sweaty in the night and I see Terrence agreeing to accept my advice to take the role in Alfie. So he like blames Terrence for taking Alfie, but he was dating like this super hot model actress in London. And she dumped him. So he's lived in India for like 5-6 years. And he had no communication with the outside world. Then one day he was like, I want to act again. So he called his agent. Then he got a telegram for this audition.
Wow. Holy cow. Freaking
crazy.
Yeah.
But you know, he played Superman's dad in Smallville.
Really? Oh, did he really?
Yeah, he was the voice of his dad. And yeah, he played Superman's dad in Smallville. Yeah,
that's pretty cool.
Yeah, yeah. So, but yeah, but I mean, like, so him walking on water, what was the point of that? Because he could fly.
Just showing off what he can do.
I felt like it was just another joke. Yeah, it was another joke, right? Because he was like, oh man, this is weird, like weird texture.
I think if you look close, it looked like you could see like a glass, like runway or something underneath where he was walking.
Yeah, I'm sure.
So then we'll talk about just this whole scene with these guys in this town before we talk about the Clark reveal, which we kind of did. So I guess we could mention that real quick. So we talked about Clark in the honeymoon suite. He's talking to Lois. He trips over the pink polar bear. Hand goes in the fire.
No, don't. Okay.
Clark, let me see your hand.
No.
Give it to me.
No, it's all right.
Let me look at it. Superman.
Oh, Lois, come on, don't be.
He says he's Superman.
He's like, dang it, you got me. Now, isn't like that just shows you how dangerous that fire is in the middle of the room. So if you happen to fall, you're gonna burn yourself. Because if he wasn't Superman, you might have been dead.
There should be glass or something.
Something right. Like that would look like extremely dangerous. Like I wonder, do they really have fires where you just pull like a big rope and like it's huge flames come out in the middle of the room?
I guarantee you they don't. Guarantee you.
I would hope that's part of the investigation. Not only are young honeymooners getting swindled, they're also burning alive.
Yeah, in this one hotel room, and
they're disappearing.
Yeah, they keep on falling into the fire.
So then from there they fly up to his house.
Yeah, he's like, get dressed, we're going.
And now he's taking her like, where is it? Like in the Arctic or like it's got to be somewhere super cold.
Yeah.
He doesn't tell her to like dress warm. Like somehow they're never cold flying there. Like you would think she would freeze to death on the way there.
At least on the way there.
On the least, not, I mean, maybe when you're inside, it's like an igloo. Like it keeps the heat in, I guess. I don't know. But yeah, I mean, and then the fact that she changes it to something more comfortable. Where were those clothes from?
Oh, dude, there's a ton of questions.
Oh, yeah. I have them all written down, too.
Yeah. So, we'll do, because the way this movie is, it's so confusing because there's like the A and B.
Right.
So we'll finish this scene and then go back to the guys in East Idaho.
Okay.
So, or in East Houston, Idaho. So the fact that, they fly there, it's cold in the air. They get there. They have their one night. They have sex, right? Is that
no, they don't.
Why did they have sex?
No, because he can't until he loses his power. Yep. He didn't lose his power yet, which I don't understand that whole concept. Why can't he? They don't explain why he has to lose his power if he wants to be with a human. They don't explain that at all.
Breaker, I guess. I don't know. It's a super sperm.
Yeah, super sperm.
He's faster than a speeding bullet.
There you go.
That means it would be over in a few seconds.
That's what I mean. So so they're trying to avoid the embarrassment.
Lois wouldn't be smoking any cigarettes after that.
But yeah, so they don't have sex until later on. So that's out. Yeah. But no, but he flies to have a romantic dinner and he goes food shopping for with her because he comes back with a
dude. He flies to Hawaii, right? Or something.
Well, some exotic area with the flowers.
Just to get the flowers.
And then he goes food shopping because he comes back with like food, you know, from like Acme.
Yeah. Where's the kitchen in the Fortress of Solitude? That's what I have. Like, how did he cook that? With his eyes? His laser eyes.
Oh, he had
that joke. That would be a funny joke.
Right.
And he's like, how do you like your steak? And he's like,
yeah.
But she changed into a nightgown there. Where was that?
Maybe it was his mom's.
Maybe they packed the bag. I don't know.
There was no bag when they were flying over there.
I don't know. I don't know.
It's so ridiculous.
Yeah.
So then he talks to Mama Superman and she says, okay, if this is what you want, you have to go into this chamber and, you know, you go into this chamber and then you lose all your powers forever and there's no turning back, blah, 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 blah. But the part that makes no sense, did he plan for it? Because from there, how are they going to get home?
Well, they have a car because they drove to the diner.
Did he leave a car there?
Well, how about like, yeah, but you got to get to the car somehow, right?
Well, he's got a garage.
You're saying the garage.
Yeah, it's his house. He's got, of course he's got a garage in the Fortress of Solitude.
Okay, wait. So that diner that they go to where he fights, not James Caan, Rocky, he fights that guy. Is that up by the Fortress of Solitude?
The diner that was in the middle of the road when they were driving down a dead end and the diner happened to be at the end of that road?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's easy to get to.
So was that up by the Fortress of Solitude or closer to the office? Because he chooses to go get the hamburger there at the end of the movie. Exactly.
But he also chooses to walk leaving the diner when he drove there because he's hitchhiking on the way back when he had to go back to the Fortress of Solitude.
Yeah. That's how I presume that they got from the Fortress of Solitude to the diner. They just walked for a long time.
No, but he drove there. They drove there. They did. They showed that. They showed him driving down. They drove down the like I said, the diner was in the middle of the street when they were driving and they said, let's eat here. So they drove to the diner, but he walked back.
Jesus.
There's so many holes in this thing, man.
Well, how about the fact that Lois is listening to this entire conversation between him and his mom, that he's going to give up his powers that are basically saving the entire world just so she, I mean, how selfish is she?
And for him, just to bust a nut, he's going to give up the power to save everyone.
Come on. He went through his teen years and all these years of never having a girlfriend. I mean, you know.
I could be wrong. Did she even say, I love you after he did that?
No.
Yeah. I mean, like, she seems so distant after that. I was like, what was that even for?
And I love how the mom says, once this happens, there is no turning back. Within 10 minutes of the movie, they turn it back.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, they didn't waste any time.
I know.
Yeah.
And Clark regretted his decision about 5 minutes later.
Almost immediately.
Almost immediately.
Yeah.
You know what? Maybe I shouldn't have done this.
When Rocky punches him and he's like, blood, my blood. Yeah, man. You shouldn't have done that.
Yeah, he definitely bleeds a lot for a human. Because he looked like he really like got the crap beat out of him.
How tall is Christopher Reeve in like
6'4"?
Was he in real? Yeah, he was a huge dude.
Yeah.
But they make him seem like such a wimp.
That's why I don't think a lot of that, like, it's almost like when he puts the glasses on, something happens to him. Maybe it's like a little kryptonite.
Maybe they have kryptonite in there.
He's a bumbling idiot every time he's Clark, even when he loses his power.
They have to have kryptonite in there. They have to.
Oh, my gosh. So then we have, now back to movie B with Zod and the gang. So they're, like, doing all these crazy things, like, Ursa sees a snake, it bites her, she laser eyes it, dies.
Okay, hold on. You're going to tell me she's going to feel a snake bite? If she's Superman, she has the same powers as Superman. A snake is going to, she's going to say, ouch. Like, she's going to, like, a snake's going to bother her. Like they can get shot. The guy gets shot by a bazooka later on in the movie. The big guy,
yeah.
And he catches it. But yeah. A snake is gonna bother you. That makes no sense.
Their powers are so inconsistent from you know, like from scene to scene. It's crazy.
Really are.
Yeah.
They couldn't just keep. Maybe that's part of the Donner cut, and then the Lester. Oh, well, I guess the Lester cut would be ouch. Donner cut is, you know, the Donner scene is non grabbing the rocket and bending it.
Well, think about it. You know, when Rocky punches Superman, he almost breaks his hand later on, right?
Yeah.
So how can a snake penetrate the skin of these aliens?
Presumably, they should be men of steel.
Correct.
Right?
Correct.
Yeah, and they're not
really not.
Yeah.
So then there's like these little bits just showing you their powers, like when she goes into the diner and she beats the guy in arm wrestling. But how about the joke again? I like these parts with them, with Zod and the gang, but how about the news report when they're beating everybody up in the town and the reporter says there's three more residents in the town and goes into this whole friggin' spiel and the army comes and just God, everything that it's like, why would they even attempt it? Like all these people see what these guys can do and they're all going at them. I'd run.
Well, clearly it happens again at the end of the movie. So, you know, and don't forget, you forgot the whole part with the cop car and them, you know, when he got there. So, yeah.
The two guys arguing over the fit. Oh, you can order the fish. Oh, I don't know if I'm going to order the fish. Maybe I'll order this. And he's like, you know what? On second thought, I'm going to order the fish. I'm like,
it's that type of stuff that makes me feel like a lot of the movie was just like, oh, we'll just waste some time here. We'll waste some time here. We'll waste some time here. And then we'll smush it all together at the end.
And no Superman. Like all these parts we could have gotten. Obviously, at this point, he doesn't have his powers. But in a perfect world, it would have been more Superman instead of all these thrown together just jokes that weren't necessary. Like if I timed it, I'm sure that the guy talking about fish was over a minute. Something else instead of that. Anything.
Yeah. Yeah. Like like plot.
Plot.
Well, we skipped the part when somehow the Zod gang have the power to change Mount Rushmore.
Well, that's
it's a little bit it's a little bit later.
I thought that was before the town.
No, that's when they take over the White House. No, that's later. When they're
Oh, my bad. All right, I'm sorry.
When somehow the movie jumps ahead months with no change of time, no like calendar cut, nothing to tell us. Instead of the only line is, "It's been 5 months," something like that.
Yeah, when they're like just like their feet are kicked up on the desk in the Oval Office. Yeah,
and they're bored.
Yeah.
They were like over being in charge of the world and God. But yeah, so it's not like there's so much in this movie because the movie's over 2 hours, but there's so many of those little things where like, all right, here is what Ursa can do. Here's what Zod can do, which I do like his kneel before Zod, all like his line delivery.
Good. Rise before Zod. No. Kneel before Zod.
And it's pretty rad because I think it's deserving. He's ranked 32 on some list by a Variety like 10 years ago. 32 out of 50, like the top.
Well, for villains, you mean?
Yeah.
Oh,
he deserves it. The way his line delivery is and just how he is with Superman, like his lines to him, is classic. It's like, that's what kind of saves this movie.
I think that a lot of the, like all the actors in this movie are like genuinely good actors. All the main characters kind of, right? It's just like poor writing, I think, that like really was the downfall for me.
Well, I don't think they knew what kind of movie they wanted. You know, you have the side of Clark and Superman struggling with relationship, or they have the bad guy and, you know, like, so I don't think they really knew what kind of movie they were making here.
Right.
They were making a comedy movie. Like there's so many lines, and Jamie, you weren't too far off. Like the Mount Rushmore thing, right from here after they defeat the people in the town, they go right to the White House. Like that's their next place to go. So that's when they put their faces on Mount Rushmore, and then how do they fly right into the White House? They fly right onto the roof. They ripped, like, which I don't think that's on top of the White House, right? In the Oval Office, in any movie I've ever seen or any photos, I don't think there's like a skylight, right? Wasn't it like a skylight?
And that just comes off like a top of a teapot. Like, it just comes right off, and they.
Is that when the guy? Is that when they like threw it off? They threw it off, right?
Yeah.
They dropped in through the ceiling, right? Then they drop into the ceiling. I thought. Yeah.
Is that when the guy says, "Wow, home run"?
No, that was an end in a movie.
Okay.
When he hits him with the pole.
Yeah. Okay. Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah. Sorry.
No, this is where he Clint Howard the lookalike was, because he was pretending to be the president.
Oh, how great is that line when he goes, "Kneel before Zod," and he kneels and he's like, "You can't be the president. The president wouldn't kneel so easily." Then the president gets up and he kneels pretty easy.
He goes, "I'll kneel if it saves everybody."
And how would Zod know anything about a president anyway?
Yeah.
Because he had no clue. He goes, "Who do you answer to?" when he was telling to the town people. So, like, how would Zod even know that?
He's like a guy coming out of a coma. Like, when somebody comes out, or somebody has amnesia.
He's Encino Man.
With little bits and pieces coming back to him. How long were they in? Were they in the Phantom Zone for? Do we know that or no? From like 1 to 2.
Question. I think that's a great question, and I don't think that long, because I mean, if they're showing you the events of Superman 1 leading to Superman 2, that probably happened like right before that.
Yeah, yeah.
So they're probably in there like a day.
Yeah.
I mean, I really hate to go back to this, but Superman also has China in Fortress of Solitude, because when he was eating dinner with Lois, there was a whole China set that he had on the table.
It's his mom's from the wedding. It's a wedding gift.
He has a Fortress of Chinatude somewhere. And yeah, next to the kitchen. It's right off the kitchen.
Hey, Lois, do you want my mom's Elvis Presley plates? They're limited edition.
We can't use these. My mom won't let me.
So at the White House, do you remember what the president, I think the president said, "Oh God." And then Zod goes, "Zod."
Yeah.
Right after "Oh God."
Yeah.
No, he was great. Like, all those lines that he had were so great. And then the fact that they are so out, obviously there's no cell phones, no technology, but I'm sure they have radio in their car. The fact that at the diner, just before that fight with Rocky, is when they see on the news everything that's happening, that Zod and the world's been taken over, and the guy that runs the diner is like, "Where you been?" It's like, how long were they in that for? Like, how long were they in there?
Well, they had sex before they got there.
So that could have been days.
Okay, so I'm sure he didn't do it just once.
Yeah, it was, he was like, "You want to do that again?"
She's like, "Okay, Superman. I mean, Clark." She's probably so bummed.
Yeah, she finally has Superman admit that he loves her, and then he turns to Clark within like 10 minutes after that. Like, you're stuck. Like, she's stuck now.
Yeah.
So then we have, from there is right what you talked about, Jamie. Like, from this, we get him going, "All right, I got to go back." And then he walks back in the snow. And then when he gets, so he's nice enough at least to give her the car. And then right from there is when he gets back home and he's just talking to his dad while he's walking home. He's just like talking.
Not only that, he left her there with Rocky.
Rocky.
Yeah.
Rocky
won. Why, I mean, like, why would he leave? Like, why couldn't she walk back with him?
Oh, yeah. I don't know. Or it'd be like, "Hey, I'll drop you off."
Right. No, I'll leave you with the guy that was hitting on you and beat the crap out of me. Yeah. Stay here. Take care of yourself.
Yeah.
That is true. God damn. And then we get Lex Luthor when he gets to the White House and he talks to everyone. And so this guy will literally do anything. Like, he's so slimy, which I
think
like
he's funny
character.
Though. I think his, like, just the way he talks to Zod, I think he was pretty funny. I thought Gene Hackman did a good job.
Yeah, I wish he was in him more, but I think because
Hackman
wouldn't come back, and they only had 30% of a whole movie. So of his parts, maybe a few scenes.
He does come back in Superman 4.
So when he's at the White House, he's like, "I'll tell you where Superman is." He's giving up all this information. And in return, he wants to be the ruler of Australia.
I don't understand. I don't like, this is Lex Luthor. I don't get that part. I don't like, yeah, that was just kind of weird.
And they never show him go to Australia, right? Or like, was it in the works? Was it going to be in the works?
Oh, maybe. But then the only thing that's the passage of time. We see him later in the movie and they go, how is Australia?
Oh, okay.
And we see a newspaper.
They don't say why he wants Australia. Does he?
So, because it's a whole, I don't know. Okay. So the kangaroos and the koalas.
But no, Tom, what happens, the passage of time, that it's that line, and then they show a newspaper in the next scene is the Daily Planet. So in the next scene is where all this stuff happens. 5 months happens within like a scene, because we see a newspaper that says they surrender White House. And then I think Zod has a line was, we were bored or something like that.
Well, I got news for you. I had no idea time lapsed, because I had no idea. I must have missed that line, because I just thought it was like the next scene.
I knew that time lapsed, but I didn't realize it was 5 months.
He called him ruler of Australia, and he's like, yeah, it's been a great, I think it was 5 months, but he said how long it was. And then there was the newspaper, but this is where they bust into the Daily Planet, because I guess at that point, they gave up the Luther gave up the information. Hey, Superman works here.
Well, I think wasn't he going after Lois? I think they went there to go get Lois, I think.
Well, no, they were really going for Superman. They had no idea that Superman, they really just think Superman is just missing, because he hasn't been seen. But he said he's Clark Kent. So he works at the Daily Planet. Because he knew, right?
Wait, how does he know who Clark Kent is?
Hackman didn't know?
I don't think so. How would he know?
No, right, because they yeah, I don't know.
That was just the Lois Lane. He used the Lois Lane angle. Because I thought he said later when they bust into the Daily Planet, Nan knocks everything over. He picks up Jackie Cooper and puts his head through the ceiling.
And knocks him out.
Yeah. And he says a line, Hackman, when he walks in, he says, he's not here. Yeah, that was the whole thing. He said Superman should be here.
Because of Lois. I don't think he knows he's Clark. He wouldn't know he's Clark.
But then they didn't know right away, because that was when they said, kill him, Nan, get rid of him, we don't need him anymore. And he goes, no, wait. But her and Superman are fancy on each other.
Yeah, so like a whole like Peter Parker, Spider-Man kind
of
thing.
I'm just trying to think of why Gene Hackman would know he's Clark then.
It's pretty obvious.
No. You just take off his glasses and he's Superman.
He must be a genius. Yeah. He is a genius. He's the what's his name? The world's
Mastermind.
Greatest mastermind. Yeah, yeah. So that makes sense then. That's why he would know.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh my god. And then I love his line when we see Superman finally show up, which is a scene that they cut out of the movie, which is probably a really good scene. But they didn't want to pay Marlon Brando his 11.5% of the box office that he got. And just before they were filming this movie, Marlon Brando sued because he said they never gave him any take from the first one. So they settled and everything was fine. But then they opted not to use the footage that's actually in the Donner cut. It actually looks pretty cool because he's talking to his dad and you see like his head and then it's Marlon Brando, but no dice. So we just get, really, they don't tell you what's going on at the fortress, right?
They don't say how he gets his power back. They don't explain any of that.
Yeah. Well, they show him look, because earlier in the movie,
Lois
Lane is like sitting on the green crystal.
The green crystal comes up.
She gets up. Yeah. And he sees it. And then you're like, oh, you kind of like put two and that's like the only time in this movie where I like put two and two together and actually got what was happening.
Oh, you didn't know Superman was Clark?
Wait. Superman was Clark Kent? I could never tell. The glasses really throw me off.
I want to know why the mom didn't know about the green crystal.
Because it wasn't in the console, I think. Because remember, like,
yeah, but she walked out of that screen. Like, she easily could have said, listen, there's no turning back unless you have a green crystal.
Yeah, just hide the green crystal.
I mean, so she had no clue about the green crystal.
Listen, I'm just gonna, you can't go back, but just put the green crystal on the side. You can go back. It's easy.
But I do love when Superman first shows up, because it's like the first time we get those lines from Zod, when he just, every time he sees him, come to me, son of Jor-El, kneel before Zod.
Yeah.
And dude, I love their, the time that they interact in this movie. And I actually do like the very, the way this movie ends, I thought it's pretty good.
Absolutely.
The way that happens.
Yeah. I like the end of the movie where you actually see Superman. Like,
no, and this is why I thought I remembered the movie being so much better, because this whole scene, the last 15 minutes, are the best part of the whole movie.
Yeah, you know? Absolutely.
And that's, but it just took, it's like, you know, it's like watching a Godzilla movie and you don't see him until the last 10 minutes.
Right.
You know, which I think was the first Godzilla. I think that when it first came out.
Really?
The same thing. Oh, yeah. It was like, it was a Godzilla with Matthew Broderick. You don't see Godzilla until like the movie's almost over.
Yeah.
It's like ridiculous. But I mean,
so you're referencing like the 19th Godzilla movie, not the first Godzilla movie. Yeah.
Oh, in the Japanese versions, you see him right away.
Okay.
God damn it.
But in Godzilla 2000, you don't see him.
Yeah.
You like 10 minutes in. Yeah.
You see Hank Azaria running around as a cab driver.
Well, you know what? They did that with, I think, the Hulk movie with, what's his name? The first Hulk movie.
Ed Norton?
No, the one before it. The what's it the one before
oh, Bruce it? Bruce Eric Jennifer Banner. Connelly.
Yes,
Eric Banner.
You literally, the movie's 2 hours long, you don't see the Hulk until the second half of the movie. Yeah, so the first hour is no Hulk.
Wait, that's so like there's three Hulk movies. Wait,
there's only
there's
two
three
Hulk
different Hulks.
That's the Ang Lee version, I believe.
All right, so enough Godzilla talk. Let's get back to this battle. So the one part that I really love is like when it starts, when he says kneel before Zod, and the and then from that part is when, is it Nan who throws something in the and the whole back of the Daily Planet like blows off?
Yeah, yeah.
Because that one shot's cool from far away. It's like a helicopter shot. And you see like the open Daily Planet, like, you know, Perry White's office, everybody is standing there. But when the battle starts with them flying in the air, fighting each other, the flying was something that didn't look great. It didn't hold up well, but the actual battles and stuff and them in the air.
The flying wasn't that good, but the way, the different ways they were fighting were like, just, you know, from the underground to the hitting, the like, everything was very cool to what they were doing.
It was well needed in this movie. Like, it was like, finally, oh wow. Like, this stuff is happening. And it really, I really enjoyed.
No, this is definitely the best part of the movie. I just want to know how big is the underground that they were like battling, so
where they were like pinballing around,
somehow the whole ground is shaking.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, yeah.
Not even cracking, just like shaking, like if it was like a train drive, you know, going by.
It was like the earth. It was empty.
That's exactly
the middle of the earth was empty, and they were just like bing bing bong bang bang.
And then Lester had to ruin it with a joke. How about Lois is worried that this guy that she loves, she loves Superman. So he's in Superman outfit. She loves him. And the girl like weasels in and she's like, ooh, that big one is just as strong as Superman. Yeah. And then Lois, like a jealous girl, like friend, like, shut up, get out of here.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, pushes
out of the way. I'm like, why would that be what you're ready to throw jokes in this time? Like, everything's crumbling around you, the ground shaking, and you're like, let me throw this jab at you. Maybe she doesn't like Lois. Maybe she likes Superman. I don't know.
Possible. But did you notice that Lois seems a little bit more concerned now that he's Superman's back? Like,
clean up in aisle 7. As soon as she saw him, her whole demeanor changed.
She's like, all right, you know, this is I'm back in business.
Yeah. Yeah. Because she doesn't like Clark.
Yeah.
Was this the part where like something was going to fall on a child? In a stroller?
Well, yes. So, yeah. Oh, there's a few parts with that. So, yes. You mean the woman that just sat there and screamed instead of like running away for the child?
Yeah. And then Superman comes in, swoops in, saves the child. And then she just goes, thanks.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah. There's no concern. Like, I almost just died. There was nothing of that. It was like, yeah, thank you.
Yeah. She could have been, oh my God, thank you so much. No, thanks.
No, and this is also the home run part you talked about before.
This is it? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. WBF classic, hold the guy, none, I got him. And then she grabs a huge, like, it wasn't even a flagpole. It was like something from her construction site.
Yeah.
And she it swings, he ducks out of the way, and then freaking Nan just like floats into the top of. So this is Metropolis, right? because they don't even pretend, like, from the exterior shots that it's New York City. Like, it's the exterior shots of this whole movie, even on the poster, Twin Towers, Statue of Liberty behind Jamie.
Yep.
It's like not even like
they're not even trying to hide it. Yeah.
It made no sense.
Do they ever call it Metropolis?
No, but I mean it's known. I mean that's where his Daily Planet is in Metropolis. Right. So No, it's just known. But yeah, you're right. You know, it's funny. I didn't even notice the Twin Towers there.
and then Superman cages Non. He takes the top of the Empire State Building, whatever they want to call it.
Yep.
Puts it, locks him into it, and you're like, wow, he's gonna be gone for a while. No, he gets out like it's nothing. And I thought he was like incapacitated.
What made you think that's gonna hold him there?
I didn't think that it was going to hold him there because Non ripped it off first, and then Superman's like, I'm just going to put this on top.
And then it's not like he welded it down. Like, I mean, he does have like fire out of his eyes. He could have welded like the metal down, make it a little more difficult. No, he just laid it on top of him.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. He just smushed it on top.
Top of him.
Yeah.
And then Zod, when he's standing up near some billboard, I forgot what was on that billboard, but he's talking with Ursa and he just starts like picking like cars off with his laser eyes. Cars start exploding. And then again, before this, there was a fight going on underground. Everything's shaking. You got to be nervous, right? No, there's a guy in a frigging gasoline truck sitting there just with the engine running, just chilling. Like, I'm surprised he wasn't listening to country music and just
they're like all doing that. Out. They're like watching like a pay-per-view event. They're all sitting around the city watching this.
But Zod is shooting this laser at the tank, and you're like, oh, this is gonna blow. Superman sees it, gets there in time. A truck mirror saves all these people.
Yeah. And then burns the outline of Zod into the
So a mirror is stronger than the heat wave that comes out of his eyes. Like that's pretty impressive.
Yeah.
Like I feel like there's a lot of weaknesses that should not be weaknesses for these people.
They're just random weaknesses.
They are random.
Yeah.
It goes back to what I said. They're so inconsistent. Like I think at this part they throw him into like a Coca-Cola truck.
Yeah.
And I think who gets thrown into the Coca-Cola truck? Non?
No, Superman does.
Superman? Well, and I think he goes, ow. I think he said, ow.
He does, yeah.
Yeah. And how about the fact that they're able to, what's her name? The Ursula or whatever her name is?
Ursa.
Yeah. She asked the big guy to help her lift a bus. She's Superman. Right. She needs help lifting a bus?
Oh, yeah. When they were both holding the bus and they were going to throw it? Yeah, yeah.
What did she need help for?
Yeah. It should be... Don't just throw it.
Well, Superman couldn't stop it, so I guess that is their limit.
Well, yeah, but he couldn't stop because they had super strength throwing it at him, like probably 200 miles an hour. A little different, you know. I don't know.
We thought he was dead. For like 1 second, we thought he was dead, and everybody thought he was dead for like a second, and then not even like a big scene of him like breaking through the bus. He just like crawled out very slow on top of it. And then that's when he saved with the mirror, right?
The people didn't give Superman any credit. Like they assumed he was dead within seconds. Like they didn't say like, all right, he's going to come out of this. No, they killed him.
Yeah.
After all that.
Yeah.
Oh no. It was the mirror. Then this. So he saves everybody with the mirror. Then he freezes the truck just in case.
Yeah, because it was hot. It was getting hot. It was getting hot in that truck.
Well, I find that Superman has some powers that I've never heard of before coming up soon.
Like the cold breath.
Well, that was the start of it. But
I know exactly what you're talking about.
There's one that's like, I mean, there's like two of them, but one is like ridiculous.
The most ridiculous in the whole entire movie. Yes, absolutely. Yes. It's like, what were they even thinking when they did this?
I mean, that was just some.
Oh, okay. I know you're talking about. So we'll get to that in 1 second. Just to recap, obviously, if you're at this point, you've heard everything else. We talked about, obviously, all the people saying, Superman's dead. Let's get him. Yeah. And the one guy says, I know judo. We talked about the KFC. Did we mention on the recording? Did we talk about the man on the skates, the rollerblade guy?
Briefly, I think in the beginning we mentioned it, but because I have the picture right there. I mean, actually, you know what? It might not have been on the recording. Yeah, I mean, and look how he's dressed. Like, he looks like he's at a disco or something, yeah. You know, but on the streets, roller skating.
Whoa.
Yeah, right. And he's going backwards.
Yeah.
It's just stupid. Like, I mean, there's been corny parts, but that, to me, took the cake right there. That was, like, the corniest.
If there's anything that, you know, I'm going to take away from this movie, it's the guy in the roller skates was the best part.
And the fact that to stop them, they, you know, Zod and the gang, they think, you know what? There's too many of them that we can't fight them. Because how cool of a scene would that have been? Obviously, it's not that kind of movie, like those Superman movies. But what if it was like a hand-to-hand combat, 10-minute scene of them just beating each person individually? No, we don't have time to film that. We're just going to have them blow.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, you know what? They have these lasers. They easily could just laser them off, like, pretty easy, you know? But, yeah, you're right. And how about the fact that my daughter noticed this also is, like, a lot of the bricks that have fallen down or, like, the cement look like styrofoam.
I know.
From the buildings. Yeah. Like, so bad.
Yeah. Because they are styrofoam.
that is true.
Yeah.
Do you think, like, when a six-year... Jamie, did you see this in movie theater?
I don't remember. So I was probably like 5. It's possible. I don't remember.
Do you think kids coming out of the movie theater, you know, like when you're a kid, you're jacked and you're like reenacting the moves. Like, I remember I saw Secret of the Ooze. We were coming out like, yeah. Do you think kids came out and they're like,
well, if I remember the first one, it was really like, it was Lex Luthor, but it was kind of like a straightforward, kind of boring. Like, this bringing the villains in there really changed it. So, like, watching this as a kid, the movie was awesome. You know, watching it now is a little different. How about that? We missed this guy. How about the guy that's wig flew off when they were blowing the
wind? I know. You just had to mention that. Yeah.
I didn't see that.
You didn't see it? Oh,
no, I don't think
he was. He was standing with his like girlfriend. It looked like, you know, that she had no clue that he has a wig, and he like the wig. Oh, yeah. Toupee flies right off.
Yeah. That's a typical gag right there. Yeah.
So then we get the part everybody thinks, oh man, Superman flew away. He ran away because they saw him, and then boom. So then this is where we get Lex and Lois. Oh my God. The fact that Lex and Lois are riding on the back of this people.
But the fact that Lex is riding in the back of the woman and Lois is on the big guy.
Yeah.
Well, that's a choice I would make. And the fact that, I don't know if it was a mistake, but Lois, like,
yes,
seemed like she was trying to get away.
No, she was falling off.
No, I know, but was that a mistake when they were filming that or something?
No. I just think that she was just, you know, like, you know, they are flying a fast distance. You know, the odds are hanging on are going to be pretty difficult. So they want to make it realistic.
So then we get more of the body double. It's not too much. So I don't know. I really have to watch Donner Cut, like, tonight and compare the two to see like how the ending was, because you do get Lex has like a weird line, and then they show like the body double, because I think they basically said like, you're done here, we don't need you, because then that's when they, oh, because he said, I know how to work the crystals and the console in the later part of the scene. But did Superman always have the power of throwing a saran wrap?
That's the main one.
Yeah. I thought you talked the other one.
Well, there's a few of them. Hold on. So
what's the other one?
Well, there's one. The fact that he could turn invisible, and one could be a rock Superman. One could be invisible Superman. You know, a stone Superman, you know.
Yeah.
Well, the one fake Superman had body parts, because when Nan punched it and it collapsed, there was like fake feet.
This whole thing is ridiculous, but yes, the blow, the saran wrap S that disappears, you know, once it's knocked it down. Like, what made him think of that? I wonder if it's in the comics. Like, I wonder if he's ever used that before. I'm going to say no.
I hope not. I hope not, because they had me up until the saran wrap S.
No, okay. So if you're going to go that far and you're going to use that, why make it disappear? Like, why not make it like a net that like you throw it in the guy and it kind of wraps him up and he can't get out? Like, why make it disappear? Then what's the point of having it?
I don't know. It kind of reminded me of like Wonder Woman's like, lasso? Lasso of truth. Yeah. But it missed. Yeah.
It just like having it disappear to me was like imagination.
Yeah,
like, it really wasn't there. Like, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, because then we could have got like maybe a 2-on-1.
And right,
like,
right.
Then slowly you have the 1-on-1.
You just brought up a good point. Not at one point. Now you have three of them that have the same power as Superman. They never attacked all three. It was all individual the entire time.
Yeah.
I would say that he's stronger now since he lost his powers, because there's the one point when they're laser eyeing him and he's like, he looks like he's about to like pass out, and then he pushes it all back and they fall on the ground. So,
yeah.
So he's like new and improved.
He's fresh.
Okay.
He got laid.
So it was the power of the lay. Okay.
Yeah.
So then we get the old trick, which I thought this is kind of funny. The fact that he says to Lex Luthor, who he knows is a the biggest villain, the mastermind, the greatest mastermind in the world. And he says, "Hey, Lex, if we can get them into this chamber," which again, only one person can fit in there, because Superman can barely fit in there when he's in there. And he's like holding.
Yeah. He's like this.
Yeah.
Well, we didn't discuss this. But when he does lose his powers, does it also give him clothes to walk out of there in a suit or whatever? Because he walked out of there, he loses his Superman suit. And, like, did that question, does he wear the suit, the clothes underneath the suit?
No, he wears the suit
underneath the
suit. Underneath
the clothes. But is there clothes underneath the suit where the suit is underneath the... Because
it goes on forever.
Because he left the suit there because the old Superman died, and he walked out of there in clothes.
Right, but this is how, if we go on, I don't want to give anything away, but this is how I knew that Superman was Superman.
Because
remember, can I say it?
Yeah, go ahead.
Because at first when he lost his powers, he turned into like geek Clark, right, with the clothes, and then when he came out this time, he still had his, you know, his Superman outfit on, and I was like, no, he's good. He's still good.
Wait, so that gave it away? Not the fact that the lights were on the outside?
I don't know. I didn't pick up on that.
That was so ridiculous.
Because Lex picked up on it. Lex was looking around.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Once he said it, I was like, oh yeah.
And then he basically says like the whole thing, like, oh, I knew Lex would tell them and blah, blah, blah. Like, so like, all right, fine. But I did like the fact that he walks like kind of wimpy over to Zod. And I like the line when he's like, so the son of Jor-El will be my slave forever. And then he like puts his hand out for maybe a smooch. I don't know. But then he's like, you see the tightness in the grip.
Yeah.
And then see, that was cool. I like that.
I like that too.
I think if that was made today, like, you'd see a crushed hand. Like, all he did was like grab his hand. You see his like knuckles like hang over to each other, like, you know, like, some, and then that's it. Like, because he looked like he was in tremendous pain afterwards. Like, he couldn't even stand up straight.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
And then Lois, coolest part of the movie, I think, for her, because really she's like a villain this whole movie, the way she treats Clark. But the fact that she punches Ursa into what's underneath, what is that?
Forever just falling.
I don't know,
because this is on Earth. This isn't in space. So he made a replica of his home, right?
Correct.
Isn't that what this is?
Yes, it's a replica of his home. Yes. So yeah, so it looks like it's like a never ending drop. You know, I just feel like the big guy I keep forgetting his name.
Non.
Yeah,
he deserved a little better than how he died.
Yeah,
yeah, because you know, Zod and Ursa both, you know, they treated Non like Lois treated Clark.
Yeah.
I mean, 100%. And it's bad enough that they didn't give him any lines to speak, but you're going to let him die by just jumping because he thought he could fly. I mean, that's kind of like, you know, I mean, I'd be pissed that I didn't have one line to say the whole movie, except for grunting and squealing, you know, that's what you did the whole movie, but then he dies while just jumping.
And then we cut to, and I thought the ending was going to be a little more satisfying, like the next part, because then we get back at the Daily Planet. We have no idea how long it is afterwards. It seems like it's pretty recent.
Yeah.
And so Lois she tells Clark that she has been crying all night.
That makes it seem that it was very recent.
But why was she crying? The fact that she was kidnapped?
No, she's crying because she can't be with Superman. They because he can't, he has to lose his powers to be with Lois, you know, which they don't explain. So the fact that now, you know, she knows that Superman is, she loves Superman, but she can't be with him. And she's stuck with Clark.
She just can't have sex with him. They can be together.
The way the mom explained it, if you want to be with the, you know, the humans, you have to lose your powers.
But why?
They don't explain that.
Maybe the mom should have air quote it with.
Like sexually. You can't be with her.
Well, you know what? I think the mom really doesn't understand fully because like the fact that she didn't know about the green crystal, but she might be wrong about not being able to be with humans anyway.
Exactly.
I wouldn't really trust the mom with anything.
Exactly.
She's like, I mean, I've been reading this. Well, I've been reading this line wrong all these years.
Yeah. I mean, considering like, you know, like the most important thing is that green crystal and she had no clue about it. I don't trust her for anything.
Well, she was like a cassette tape, right? So she didn't see it.
Well, yeah. No, she walks out as a human form.
It's a hologram like Michael Jackson. Yeah. He's not really dancing on stage right now.
That was no hologram. She walked out of there. She handed him something, right? Didn't she she handed him something.
Here's the green crystal.
What was the point of her walking out?
I think it was just special effects.
I thought she handed him like a crystal or something.
The green one, probably.
Well, she didn't know about the green one. She probably handed him the red one. That's what she handed him, the red one that lost his powers.
Oh, okay. That's what it was.
Oh, right.
Okay. Put this red one in here and then you lose your power.
Right.
Okay. Red means stop. So this green means go. Stop crystal. Green is the go one.
So why would they make that green if kryptonite is green and that kills him? So let's make the thing that helps him green too.
Stupid.
Wasn't the crystal that he found to make the Fortress of Solitude actually kryptonite?
Was it?
That's what I always thought. Yeah, but it was green, right?
But how can he use it if it's kryptonite? He can't even go near it. If he smells it, he starts panicking. So, you know. All right. Well,
I don't know.
So back to Lois. If there's any sign of depression, I felt like she could have jumped out of the window. The way she looked and the way she acted. If this movie was like later on, she's jumping out that window.
Yeah.
Well, she already jumped into the Niagara Falls almost. So
right. Yeah. So clearly there's signs that this woman's troubled.
Yeah. She says, "I don't even know what to call you." You can just freaking Clark and call him Superman if they're one-on-one.
Yeah.
It's not that hard. She's making it more difficult. It's like she's being selfish. It's like, oh, save the world or be able to have sex with this guy.
And she's disappointed that she's stuck with Clark. That's what the whole thing is. I don't know what to call you. Like, she wants Superman, but she's like, I got stuck with Clark. That's she's definitely selfish.
So when he kisses her, when she, again, like Thomas mentioned before, I don't think she's ever said, I love you. She goes, just wish you would say, I love that you love me. He does it, kisses her. She like passes out in the chair. Caddy friend from earlier that made the line about Non being as big as Superman comes in like, what happened? And she doesn't remember. So I was thinking like with that kiss, obviously the point of it is powerful, but does he have like a superpower? Like the Men in Black, like,
that's what I assumed.
They keep adding more powers to Superman because you only know about his X-ray vision, his heat, and his flying. You know, like you don't know anything else, and they added so many more things to him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's a detail that I think you both missed, and you might have to look it on YouTube, and I hate to go back to it, but when he lifts Zod up at the end by one hand, he lifts him over his head, Superman has the biggest pit stain.
Does he really?
Huge. And then I told my daughter we had to rewind it, and literally there's a huge pit stain when he's lifting Zod up in the air.
Yeah,
it's hysterical. So I didn't think, you know, Superman really sweats much because
it's hot in the Fortress of Solitude.
Yeah, but he's flying. He flies everywhere, super speed. He fights everybody. His hair, his curl never moves. Yeah, but he's got a sweat stain when he's picking up Zod.
Super sweat.
That could have been a great like ad in the 80s,
like Old Spice. Is he good enough for Superman?
I'm telling you, when you notice it now, you'd be like, how did they not notice this when they're like going back and editing it? It's really bad.
Worried about adding stupid jokes.
Yeah, they probably did. And they were like, who cares? Let's add a guy who says, wow, home run.
Or, hey, I know judo against these guys that have laser eyes.
Yeah, yeah.
That's going to work. So then we have to, before we end this movie, have to have Lois treat Clark like shit one more time. Hey, Clark, can you go get me a hamburger with everything on it? Lois, it's 9 a.m. Oh, yeah, and fresh squeezed orange juice. And I'm like, are you kidding me?
How does that make Clark feel, knowing that, like, she's really using him for Superman? And because he clearly loves her also.
Yeah, now she doesn't know, though, right?
Well, she doesn't know, but he still loves her. He knows that she loves Superman and can't stand Clark. So he's got to deal with that every single day, knowing that she despises him.
It's a really bad plot.
Yeah. Wouldn't he get, like, another job? Because obviously he's saving the world. He's really not getting the credit. Superman's getting the credit. So he has to go to work at a 9-to-5 job as a reporter covering honeymoon stories. And he has to hear that shit from her.
Right.
And he lost his virginity to her, and he's going to see her every day, knowing that he can't do that again. That's got to be difficult too.
And knowing that she doesn't even remember it.
Well, again, he's faster than a speeding bullet, so I don't think he would have remembered it anyway.
Yeah. In and out real quick.
And then we get one last scene with Rocky at the diner. A cool line I did like was when he said,
"Yeah, give me another plate of this garbage.
Garbage? That's my number one special, Rocky.
All right, eh? There's more coffee, too, eh?
Gee, that's funny. Never seen garbage eat garbage before.
Yeah,
you know, this guy is clearly a troublemaker. I mean, he pushes the cook back by his face. They don't ever call the cops on this guy. Like, he looks like a guy that probably doesn't tip at all. He probably eats and leaves. He probably causes fights all the time, and they keep letting him come in there.
Yeah. I don't understand it.
Why do they keep on, like, just kick him out?
Yeah, yeah. And not for nothing, the guy looked like he was in his 60s.
He was James Caan. He was like...
Right. So you're going to tell me you couldn't find a younger, like, tougher guy? Like, you got the old guy coming in there being the... So the old guy is a bully? Like, that's... I don't know.
Yeah, I know.
He got what he deserved.
He
gave him a shot, punched him in the stomach, broke his hand, and then he did the old toss down the bar, and then he broke the pinball machine.
What did he say before he shoved him down the bar? He had a good line right there, too.
It's something like, here's your order to go or something like that. Or
This order's to go.
Yeah, yeah. And then when they're all looking at him, he goes, I've been working out.
Yeah. Yeah, but he was classy. He handed him a wad.
He did. Yeah.
He was ready for that.
Where did he get his money from? Because, I mean, I can't imagine him paying a lot at the newspaper. Yeah.
The Daily Planet Gopher.
Yeah, yeah.
He's
not making a lot of money.
Yeah.
Wow. And then the final scene of the movie, he brings the flag back to the White House and he says, hey, Mr. President, and boom, that is the end of the movie. And
but he brings the top of the like I said, like a teapot, right? It wasn't just a flag, it was the top of the White House. Yeah.
So they didn't have a top to the White House for a couple months.
So that makes you think, where was it? Because he was flying with it.
Wasn't it in space? Didn't they throw it in space or something?
I don't think they did. They threw the top of the White House of space.
I don't remember where he found it, but I remember him bringing it back.
It was sitting on the front lawn for a while. They just had no one could pick it up.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Well, yeah. So that was Superman 2. Oof, a lot to unpack there. We'll go to our guest first. And I think I know the answer, but I'll ask him, would you recommend somebody watch this movie?
Oh, yeah, no, I would totally recommend watching it. It's definitely, like, part of history, right? Like, cinematic history. Was it good? Not my favorite. I don't think it was my favorite. Yeah. But, I mean, how can you hate Superman? How can you hate Superman? So, yeah, I would recommend it. Definitely. Definitely.
Jamie, this is your one. You pumped it up so much. Maybe that's what ruined it for me.
No, listen, you know what? I don't remember the first one as much. I remember it being boring. Again, maybe because I was a kid and I still recommend this one. I think out of the first four Supermans that were Christopher Reeve, this is the best one of the four.
That's not saying much.
Well, I got news to you. 3 and 4 are not saying much either. That's garbage.
That's what I'm saying.
Right. So if you're going to, I think, you know, I think the first two and then it really goes downhill. So if you don't like this one, don't even bother watching the other ones. Honestly, I think for the second half of the movie, it's worth watching. You know, the fight scenes, you know, second half of the movie, the last 15 minutes is worth watching. But no, I would definitely recommend it. This is like you said, it's part of a culture. It is known as a very good sequel compared to the first movie. You have to watch it. It's cheesy, but it's, you know, for the time when it came out, it was great. Now, not so much.
Yeah. Well, I always say, you know, you got to watch these movies because now even the fact, like Tom said, it's like part of like, this is the movie that kind of catapulted like movies because definitely. The only one that ones that were before this, there was like the Batman TV show, the Batman TV movie, the Superman show. And then around this time was Captain America, which was like a TV movie, the two that they did that didn't do much. So this is like huge for it. And right after the first Superman, if any nerds are like Batman fans, there's a Batman script you can find online from like, I think it was written in 1981 and it's pretty awesome with the Joker in it, but I'm sure this spawned all these movies to have an opportunity to be made. So for that, I'm happy, but I'm just so confused that how they go from a guy like Donner as a director, the way the first one went and the footage they already have done is 30%. Why would they get a director that's completely not even the same realm that does comedic and just like the too many jokes? So watch it, but I say watch the Donner cut. That's what I'm gonna watch.
You know, I what I do like though, and it's I'm gonna put it on the same level as say James Bond, where you have like, you know, Christopher Reeve, he was tall, but like he was a lanky guy. Like he's not. And then you look at Superman today with what's his name?
Henry
Cavill.
The guy's a monster. Which Superman should be. Like, Superman should be, look like a monster. Yeah. You know, like, he's huge. Same thing with James Bond. I mean, I love the Roger Moore. I love the Sean Connery. But you look at Daniel Craig, I mean, that's what James Bond should be. You know? And so it's funny how, like, how...
And George Superman Lazenby. Can't forget George Lazenby.
That is true. And we tried to get him on this podcast, but his agent wouldn't allow it. But, I mean, it's funny how they changed Superman over the years, you know, and compared to what he is back then.
Well, thank you, Tom. And so that's the end of Superman 2. But I think we're going on to a movie that I feel like I'm going to enjoy better talking about. And the next sequel up, we're dipping our toes back into the beautiful pool of canon films once again. First, it was Death Wish 3. And this time it's American Ninja 2.
Oh,
okay. The Confrontation.
And I'm going to say this again. I've seen that movie 1,000 times. I had it on VCR tape. I love the movie.
Yeah.
No. So I can't wait for this one.
Yeah. No, this one I did watch like a few months ago when I interviewed, just before I interviewed the director, who's our guest, Sam Furstenberg. Great story. Growing up in Jerusalem. No movies were in Jerusalem. Like when he was growing up, there was only Jerusalem films. So he had no idea about anything else. And the fact that he wanted to direct and they went on to do 22 films that cover some B-movie classics. He did Revenge of the Ninja, Breaking 2, Electric Boogaloo.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah, he was a great guy. Great interview.
Yeah.
He sent me a lot of cool behind-the-scenes photos, and he interviewed a few of our former guests, Eric and Eliza Roberts. Oh, well, he worked with them. And Lisa London, so you're going to like that. And he has a really cool book that we'll talk about next week. But, yeah, so don't forget to review, rate, share our podcast. Follow us on all social media at Sequels Only, and don't forget to check out our website, sequelsonly.com. Good night.
Good night.
Night.